Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to week 5 of the We Believe series. My name is Vince. I'm one of the pastors at the church, and I'm excited this week to get into the subject on We Believe, this doctrine called eschatology. It's a big fancy word for the doctrine, the beliefs of the last things, what we believe about the last things. And so today is going to cover a wide array of things from death. We're going to talk about death. We're going to talk about ghosts, the afterlife, Jesus' return, the rapture, the tribulation, the new millennia, new heaven, new earth, all sorts of fun things. So we're just going to have to dive into it. If you had a chance to jump into a time machine, would you go back and adjust some things? Would you go back and fix some things that maybe you think, I wished I'd done that a little different? This has been explored many times in film. Think of movies like the Terminator, where if we knew we were going to create killer robots in the future, would we change things now? And in their case, send people back in time to fix it. Movies even like Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray repeats the same day again and again until he has this perfect day where he finds true love. Would you go back and change some things? Eschatology and this look at the future provides us now with the time machine experience. And I've traveled back to this moment with an intent of looking forward to how things will be. And so eschatology covers this we believes of what is to come. And so those choices and those things that come up on what I believe will come dictate how I will live now. And for like many of you, any given day has adjustments on how I might live today. Like when I woke up this morning, I may have said to myself, it's a lovely day. I've got time. I can roast a chicken and make some asparagus. And then the 5 p.m. version of myself may say, wonder if we should order a pizza tonight. On any given day, how I plan things for the future it changes. And so the We Believe will cover some these thoughts on what is to come. Now, what do we believe? So many differing people hearing this, there's bound to be some different thoughts on what we believe on these subjects like death and what is to come. Now, there's people, like, it's a free country, you get to believe whatever you wish. Someone may believe, you know, I'm just going to go back to the ground and I'll turn back in to dirt and that'll be the end of that. I don't have an eternal soul. No big deal, that's what happens. So another person may believe that they do have an eternal soul, but it comes back out and it goes back into this big cycle and returns back into things. I had a friend who wanted to come back as a cowboy. I said, that's called reincarnation. It's this idea that you just keep cycling around. Maybe that's what you believe. Maybe you believe just a portion of like what the Bible says. Maybe 12.5%. That would make you an atheist. Sometimes you just mash things up of what you've heard. I saw this on TV, or Rick and Morty showed me this, or I saw this clip on YouTube, and so I believe these things. It's, yes, I believe in Jesus, and he rose again on the third day, and then he saw his shadow, and so there's going to be 6 more weeks of hell. It's just a combination of things that you've somehow merged together into your own little special concoction about what you believe. Now, my lot in life and today's presentation, this message is intended to just be about some things that the Bible talks about with that future look of how things will be. Now, have I experienced them? No. Can I put it into a test tube for you. No. Many of these things are acts of faith, and we're going to talk a bit about how all that plays into this future look and how I conduct myself today. What does the Bible have to say about the life after this one? Hebrews 9, 26b through 28. He, Jesus, has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. If you had one shot at this, one opportunity, would you capture it? Would you let it slip? Someone should write a song about that. Weak knees, mom spaghetti, et cetera, et cetera. You get one go at this life. And so how do you use it? 1 Thessalonians talks about it this way. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. The Bible is pointing in this, we believe, the Bible is pointing that there is a hope after this life, that this is not the end. When my body ceases now in this time, that it's not over. Continuing on, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Well, how do you know? We believe covers into this realm of faith, this confidence. Well, someone will say, I'm confident in science, which is a fantastic phrase because the word confidence is actually made up of two Latin words, con and fide, which means with faith. There's this measure of faith that has to go along in the package about what's coming next. And I choose Jesus. So what happens after I die? What does the Bible have to say about this? Do I just become a ghost and just float around and harass mankind? Tara Yummy, the TikTok creator and philosopher, many of you have heard of the great philosopher Tara Yummy, she said it this way. When asked the question, do I believe in ghosts? Do I believe in ghosts? No, but I ghosted a guy in high school once, Terry Yummy. It's a state of mind. What do you believe on what is coming next? Do you just roam around as a ghost? I tell you, I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe in spirits. Now, is there a distinction? Well, I believe these things because of what the Bible says about these things. Do I think I continue to roam the earth with like chains and live in haunted houses? No. 1 Corinthians 15 and 44 says it to me this way. What is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So what is planted, so at the point of passing, what is planted, whether it's that you were cremated or whether that you were buried as a whole individual, what is planted as a, sown as a natural body, is raised as a spiritual body. It says, if there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Well, what is this spiritual body like? Is that a ghost? I just don't see it that way. We have these cases. Jesus entered rooms that were locked. Did Jesus walk through walls? Is that a special Jesus thing? But these are some things that we see from Scripture. We see a 1 Samuel 28 where Saul contacts a witch who summons the prophet Samuel from beyond the grave to speak to him. And so is there, like, how's that happen? I don't believe it was Samuel. So there are these interesting stories in the Scripture, but the Scripture points to me that there are spiritual bodies. There's also angels. There's also demons. There are things in this life that are intended to throw me off track. I have assurances in the Psalms that when his breath departs, Psalm 146, 4 says it, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Well, if I'm not a ghost, then where do I go? What happens after my passing? You are a spiritual body. And the idea of this, this is a long way around on to get to heaven and hell. That there is a place after this one where man spends his eternity. This place of heaven, this place of hell. Wait till your dad gets home is a phrase that sometimes is heard in parenting circles. Wait till your dad gets home. That is like a terrible parenting strategy. Wait till it's one of those things that like takes away your authority and puts a fear of this moment when dad comes back. Or it's mom. Maybe you say like, wait till your mom gets home. You're going to get a licking when your mom gets home. Like I'd rather take a beating than be licked by my mother. I don't want to get licked by anybody. I don't want a licking. This parent strategy of just wait for this moment when dad comes home and then it'll get resolved. And so sometimes thinking of heaven and hell in these terms of this terrible moment, Jesus coming back, me coming face to face with Jesus, and this angry dad moment is sometimes a picture that gets put into people's heads. See, what is the afterlife like? I have to stretch out my faith past what I can give you in empirical data and stretch my faith out. This is a We Believe series. We believe that there is a place after this one. And let me describe a bit about what they're like. Heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12 would say it this way. We shall see the Lord face to face. That heaven is a place where I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Revelation 22:5 says it this way. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Revelation 21:3-4 says, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them. So this place where God is, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, no sorrow. This is the description of heaven, a place of no sorrow, no pain, where it's light and beautiful, and God himself meets you face to face. I was looking at a news article and trying to like get some general feel for things that like what hell might be like before I jumped into the scripture. And the news article said, hell is a place that will freeze over if the Vancouver Canucks win the playoffs. And that hurt my feelings a little. And so I don't entirely agree with their definition of hell. Maybe that's what it is for you. Hell is this place where God is not. And so if God is love, if God is light, if God is joy, if God is peace, then hell is this place where he is not. Mark 9:43 says this, it is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out. This place where the fire never goes out. Matthew 25:30 says it this way, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is described in a few places as darkness. I'm like, well, how is there fire always going and it be dark? Somehow, in some way, God is light. And so this idea that hell is this place where I don't experience love, I don't experience the presence of God. It is darkness and fiery. This is Bible's description on hell. I believe it's an actual place, and that heaven is an actual place. And so where do I go from here? Wait till your dad gets home. There's a couple ways of going about that. there can be an excitement about when dad comes home. Let's get some things tidied up. Dad'll be home soon. Mom's gonna be home soon. Let's make sure we got the everything in order and something ready so that when mom gets home, you know, the place isn't a disaster. So that when they arrive home, it's like a time of excitement. It's like, hey, you know, mom's home. Hey, dad's home. And that excitement is how I view the afterlife. And so instead of leading with the stick, instead of the carrot, heaven is an opportunity that's available to us all. But then what? How does all of this come to a conclusion? This life, for everyone, where is it all going? Whether it's 500 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, or tomorrow. That Jesus is coming back, as we read earlier in Hebrews. I'd heard this little story that aliens were visiting Earth. Aliens were visiting Earth, and we began like talking to them about some of the things in our culture, some things about like religions and aspects of the world. And when it came up with religions, we talking about, and, you know, there's this guy, Jesus, and they're like, oh, we know Jesus. And we're like, what? People of Earth were just confused. Said, oh yeah, Jesus, he comes back every 2 or 3 years, and he loves chocolate. He comes back and eats chocolate. Jesus loves chocolate, comes back every 2 or 3 years for some. And they're like, he's come back like more than once? They're like, oh yeah, he comes back. First time he came, we gave him chocolate. What did you do for him the first time he came? What did you do the first time that you heard? And so this idea that is Jesus returning, is Jesus coming back? We believe he is returning, that Jesus is coming back. Now, a few months back, I got to speak on this whole aspect of the rapture and the end of things. But I'll just give a quick little synopsis to kind of take a look in terms of eschatology. Jesus' return, are going to be with him in heaven, and what all of those tales unfold. This word rapture gets covered in concept, but is not used directly in the scripture. This time where the earth is really going sideways. I don't know if you can imagine such a time. A crazy time of hyperinflation and devaluing of the dollar. Global wars, threats of global war, crisis in the energy sector. Food shortages, labor leaders causing work stoppages all over the world. Bank accounts being frozen if you don't comply. You'll need a digital certificate to get in there. Can you even imagine of such of a time? Well, of course, we now can imagine such a time. The lead into this moment where the end comes kicks off with this event called the rapture, where God's people are taken up. It says it this way in Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who have already passed on will rise with Christ. After that, those who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, for those who are alive at that moment. And so we will be with the Lord forever. If you're at this point and hundreds of thousands of millions of people you find out on the news are gone mysteriously, it's not a good sign. It's like, it's one of those, you're in trouble, but you don't know it. It's like having an infestation of chameleons in your house. You don't know it, but you're in trouble. You know something's up, but you can't see it. When that moment happens, you will know that something is up. Then we'll begin this 3.5 year period, which is the first half of the tribulation, followed up by the installation of this character called the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and 4 says it this way. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. in the man, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he himself sets up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This idea of the believers being taken out, the rapture, in beginning of this time called the tribulation, in goes this character, the Antichrist, followed by 3.5 more years of tribulation. It also forced all people, I'm reading from Revelation 13, 6 to 18. It forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, the number 666. This time where you can't buy groceries, you can't do anything unless you've taken this mark or been identified in this way. This gets followed up and culminated in this moment, this battle of Armageddon and the new millennium. It records out this in Revelations 19 and 20. We see Jesus riding in on the cloud. They lock Satan to a chain and cast him into a bottomless pit. Scripture reads, "Then I saw an angel come down from heaven. He had in his hand a key to the hole without a bottom," this bottomless pit, "and also had a strong chain. He took hold of the dragon, that old snake who is the devil or Satan, and chained him up for 1,000 years. The angel threw the devil in the hole without a bottom. He shut it and locked him in. He could not fool the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were complete. After this, he must be freed for a while." This is a fantastic bedtime story as well if you're looking for parenting strategies. Okay, kids, your teeth brushed? Okay, just one story. Okay, just one story before you go to bed, okay? Yeah, Satan's coming back. There's going to be a dragon with a prostitute riding him, and she kills all the children who disobey their parents. Okay, good night. Sleep tight, everyone. And then shut the door. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. These things can seem scary. These things can seem like this terrifying events. But we believe that in the we believe eschatology, that we're pulled out before this moment. It puts an encouragement on us to make sure that we're spending our time now with that time machine futuristic look, that I'm spending my time now doing things that will help keep people in that first rapture group. People get wound up about the end of things, but the scripture is pretty clear on it, on this one aspect, which teaches us in Matthew 24, says this, "But that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows when that day is going to come." We believe it'll be like a thief in the night. It'll just be that moment that you didn't lock your car, that moment where you were at least expecting it, like a thief in the night, in the blink of an eye, and that's when these events will unfold. And so with that futuristic look, it dictates how I'm going to live my life now. There's a video rolling around on YouTube that's interesting. Take it for what you will. I don't put too much stock in it. My history leads me not to, but it's interesting. So there's a preacher on this little and this YouTube clip, and in 2017 we had a solar eclipse here, but actually we had like 88% coverage in Vancouver, where it spanned and went one way across North America in one direction. And then of course in 2024 on April 8th we had another eclipse that spanned the other direction across North America, making a cross. That first way it spans covers 7 cities called Sila, which means peace. The one on April 8th covered 7 cities called Nineveh through America. and those words from the scripture come to his mind, that the only sign we will get is the sign of Nineveh. And at the intersection of those two solar eclipses is a city called Rapture. So this guy is convinced, and I don't know. My belief says not, but I want to be ready every day for the return of Jesus, because it's going to come like a thief in the night. So whether it's God's peace, I've given you 7 years later, the judgment is coming, and that 40 days, and so that happening on April 8th would put May 18th as 40 days later, like Nineveh, 40 days after April 18th. Do I believe it's going to go down like that? Well, we have church on May 19th. If May 19 comes and I'm still here, it's kind of how I'm planning for it. Well, there's that. If the bulk of you, particularly if my wife isn't here, I know that something went bad and I need to rethink my life. I want to be ready all the time. And so the intent of eschatology, as I look forward to these events by faith, is that I would live my life now in such a way that I would be, you know, I'd be happy, I'd be pleased with where things are going with life. No man knows the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Luke 21, 8 and 9 says it this way: "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he.' The time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened," says Jesus. "These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." I want to live today like he's coming back today. And tomorrow, I want to live like he's coming back today. So always being in a state where I conduct my life in such a way that he's coming back today. Not as, wait till dad comes home. But in a way that it's like, great, dad's coming home. I'm excited for it. So conducting myself in this manner, and maybe it's something for us to reflect on, for wherever your life is at, and no judgment, wherever your life is at in your journey, in your faith journey with Jesus, that however it's unfolding for you, your next step is to live today, live each day, like Jesus is coming back. Death, heaven, hell, the second coming of Jesus, the rapture, the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the new millennia, and then a new heaven and earth to appear. We believe these things, and I have this privilege to be in this time machine of now, understanding of what I believe future events will unfold. I'm in my time machine. What are the things that I'm prepared to change today? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for this time where we can get into your word. We can look at some things. And Lord, it's just so interesting. And we don't claim to know every nuance and detail of things. But Lord, our hearts are inclined to turn to you. Father, use these moments to teach us, to shape us, to mold us, that we would be more reflective of you today, Jesus. Father, we're just asking for the presence of your Holy Spirit to be with each one of us, that we would sense that the time is close to draw into you, that there is no guarantees of tomorrow. So Lord, we're excited about seeing you next. Lord, for each of us as we go through our thing, speak to each one in their own way. Lord, grant favor, grant grace. Lord, may we sense your love and feel compelled to just draw closer and move closer to you. Lord, we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.